This is tape two. This is Jeff Charnley interviewing Professor Lois Lund. We were talking when the first tape ended about the early 1970s and student reaction to Vietnam War riots and protest, and how in human ecology the students were able to find an outlet for some of that. So.
I'm not certain that what we did met all of their needs, but they did have access to administration. And I tried hard to listen and to do what I could in achieving sufficient number of the things they wanted that they felt that their input was important. Because I think the hardest thing for students is not to be heard. And when not heard, they never get response. Mm-hmm. And so we worked on that. But when I arrived in 73 here, most of the real rioting kind of action was over with students, and they had settled down. I'm not sure that settling down was profitable for them. They probably should have kept rioting. Nonetheless, there were some other changes that occurred that were positive changes. I've talked about things that caused us problems, and particularly administrative problems as I was working along with the curriculums and so forth. But we did, over time, were able to improve the program quality. And the College of Human Ecology undergraduate program was ranked sixth among 551 institutions offering a home economics degree in 1985. And that ranking was by the Gorman study, that's G-O-U-R-M-A-N study, on the basis of program quality and effectiveness. And our programs in CHE were ranked within the top 10 for several years. And I've not watched that ranking lately, so I don't know what happened to it.
And that was at the end of your tenure?
Yes,
as
that
dean?
Was at, in 85, mm-hmm. was when that came out. But it was a pleasure to see that. And sometimes you have a hard time, you have a sense in your own self that the quality is improving, and you see evidences of it when you start evaluating programs. But it is always good to have someone from outside say, yes, you're right.
And this was an important national study at that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We also saw in that period of time when I was a dean, very significant increase in the number of faculty that were recognized nationally and internationally, and also locally, both here on campus and in the state, for their outstanding work. And particularly notable improvement in research contributions and publications. I was interested that the concept of ecology was accepted nationally and internationally. Sometimes I think that it was conceptually not accepted, but as a word was accepted as a title for the field, because people seemed to think that had more status than the word economics after the introductory word. We developed a logo for the college, which was kind of fun, to reflect the interactive nature of the units. And that logo is still in use, which has been interesting to me. I was distressed about the perception in the state of home economics, when I first came, of home economics as being only home and family, only homemaker and nursery, and worked with Cooperative Extension to develop a program which introduced the new college and the new college concepts to businessmen and academic educators and public servants of various kinds in 6 regions in the state. And we called that program Interaction 75. We went out in the spring of 75. And it was a lot of work. We had money both from the provost and from CES to do this, but it was very productive. We got good response from it. And I do think it helped some to change the stereotypic view of the college. There was great interest by our alumni in the state who really were happy that we did this. One of the things that we did was to review all of the programs, the academic programs within the college, and revise them where it was necessary to achieve a professional relevance and quality. Where programs were no longer really relevant, we deleted them. And new programs, a few new programs were added, but not very many. Where there were professional programs, we had them reviewed for professional accreditation. And I think all that we had reviewed were given professional accreditation. We developed the first, I didn't, but developed in the college, was the first external master's degree program to be offered overseas in human ecology. It was established in 1982, and the program was developed and continues to be administered by Dr. Norma Bobbitt. That's B-O-B-B-I-T-T. The purpose of this program is to prepare professionals for leadership positions in business and government and community organizations that provide human services to individuals and families. And it's a project that is sponsored by the Department of Defense. There are approximately 260 students have graduated with their master's degree over these years. And approximately 50 faculty have gone over to Okinawa to teach with regular teaching, regular classes. The program is located on the U.S. base in Okinawa, Japan. But it has provided an international contact for our faculty, which has been worthwhile because it has introduced many faculty to working outside the states. And there now are many faculty who have international programs as well as national programs. And so I think this first step was very valuable.
Does that continue today?
Yes, it continues today. It was refunded a year ago for another, I think, another 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting program. And we really had so many students on hand when I first came that we never thought about recruitment. But when we began to realize that we might go below 1,500 students undergraduate, we developed the first student recruitment program. And we established it in the late 70s and early 80s. It was effective in stopping the fall in undergraduate education, undergraduate enrollment. One of the things that I noticed when I first came in was that there were so few scholarships and fellowships in the college. The number of college scholarships and fellowships that we finally were able to give to undergraduate students increased from 10 in 72 to 44 in 1985. And we also established collegiate fellowships for master's and PhD students, doctoral students. The first doctoral fellowship for minority students in human ecology was in 1981. Another thing that we worked on was to try to develop career ladders for students that were rewarding. This is a matter of grave concern, always was a matter of grave concern to me, because I think if you have invested what you invest in a college education, you sure should be able to get a life-supporting job. and the job should be a career, an initial job that allows you to move up the ladder. And so we worked on that. In some sectors, it went very well. We had very grave economic setbacks in Michigan over those periods of years.
In the early 1980s, especially.
In the late 1970s and 1980s. But I was able to obtain good increases in FTEs of faculty and graduate assistants and clerical technical staff. We absolutely had to have them, and I was able to get some funding for that. But and also was able to get significant adjustment in college faculty salaries. I argued for and achieved market adjustment funds each year when these were offered, so that salaries were at national competitive level when I departed as a dean in 1985. We made very significant effort to hire faculty that had both strong teaching as well as strong research experience. There was, I fear in the past there had been kind of a token attention paid to that. But unless you have strength in both sectors, you have a weak faculty. We were able to hire faculty who had this. We were also able to bring faculty in who had, with compatible education and research background, but who came from sectors other than traditional home economics. So we were able to expand the purview of backgrounds of people through hiring beyond home economics background. We also hired both men and women. I was very pleased to obtain very significant improvement in merit increases and promotions for CHE faculty who had met the requirements, and many of them had met the requirements, but it's a case of arguing the case and then bringing it to the foreground.
At the provost level? Or
at the provost level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was pleased that we were able to do that. One of the things I was interested in was diversity issues. We had had affiliation with 1890 schools, 1890 land grant, which are the black minority, technically black land grant schools. And we had had very close affiliation with faculty in those schools and worked with them in many, many efforts. But I was interested as to the commitment of home economics to minority hirings and minority promotions and raises. And so in 1979, I did a survey of colleges relative to racial and sex employment patterns in academic units of home economics, human ecology. And that and shared those data with people across the United States. Eventually, those data became benchmark, U.S. benchmark data. But I was interested in it. It was really interesting to look at.
So did you publish that study?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we published it as a monograph within the college. And one of the things that I thought was necessary was to establish an advisory committee with students that were minority students. And so just as we had evolved the Dean's Undergraduate Advisory Committee, we evolved three other advisory committees that were on minority affairs. One was on faculty, one with undergraduate students, and one with graduate students. So that there were three committees that I met with that had to do with minority issues. And we met regularly on matters of importance relative to minority faculty and student relationships and opportunities and so forth and so on. One of the things that preoccupied me, because I thought it was so terribly closely tied to salary and to rank, was research and the building of the research program within, in all sectors within the college. And so early on, I established, took some money that I could find, and established the College Research Initiation Grants Program, which provided money to faculty to start up, as startup dollars, to start up research, to start, get started into research so that they could search for outside money. And we were able, I think, partially through the instigation and initiation of this program, were able to get faculty started and get their feet wet in research. And by 1985, when I left, we had over 25% of the faculty were heavily involved into research, which I was pleased about. There was very dramatic improvement in outside funding for research in the college, and in all sectors, not just within the science areas of nutrition, but in other sectors as well. And along with that was increases in merit awards and promotion, and also in publication, refereed publications and presentations and the whole kit and caboodle. We had a comment about one program in cooperative extension service. The cooperative extension service in the days when I was dean contacted enormous numbers of people with education and with programs and so forth and so on. But one of the programs they had, which was sponsored by USDA, was the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program, which was designed to provide nutritional information and food purchase and preparation guidelines to families. And they were, it was directed to the poorest families in the community. We reached over 10,000 families a year through this program. This was a very successful program. It's continued today. There were many other programs, but I'm not going to get into detail on that. I just thought this program was very successful. We did not have good facilities at all times. And so one of the things that I tried to do was to seek monies for renovation and to do some major renovations of areas. And when I went back to count it up, I'd made obtained money for a major renovation of 33 college offices and office suites and classrooms and labs. And the work was completed in those years in which I was dean. We had a major fire in the Human Ecology Building. Occurred on May 24th, which was a Saturday, 1975. The fire destroyed faculty offices and the full CES office suite and all of their files. It melted things, melted computers, melted telephones. Very disastrous fire. We had good support on obtaining funding for the renovation of the affected areas, but an enormous expenditure of time on this.
Did they ever determine the cause?
Yes, it was an error by an individual.
Oh, human error versus a not direct arson?
No, oh no, it was not arson. Mm-hmm. Not by the least, it was simply an error. And one of the things I told you about was the building of our library. But the students also participated in the design of a student lounge. We hadn't had a student lounge before, and I thought students should have a place to relax and have design that space by themselves. And so an area was identified, and the students were told, especially in HED, you tell us what you want and we'll find funding for it. And so they did. They came forward with two or three plans, which were reviewed by student groups as well as faculty. And then we went out and got alumni gifts to support the funding of that. And it was a good effort. We opened the first MSU Collegiate Microcomputer Laboratory for classroom use in 1985. And the networking capability was planned in 85, but it was completed in 86. And that is now interpreted to be a university computer laboratory. We also established, as most other colleges at that time, a computer network system within the college so that we could reach each other with computer services. We tried to do some things that would contribute to the MSU program. We established a College of Human Ecology Distinguished Lecture Series. We established that in 1977. And the first person we had come to speak was Shirley Chisholm. Shirley Chisholm was a black legislator from New York, the state of New York, with very deep interests in child development and programs for young children, particularly for programs for minority children, disadvantaged children. She gave an excellent speech, and we were glad to have her. The next year, we had Ken and Elise Boulding, and the Bouldings were economists, and they spoke about their studies and their books and writings and so forth and so on. Very nice presentation, and it was nice to hear from them. They were unique in that they were a couple that worked together as economists, and it was nice to see that. The third year we had Bob Keesham, K-E-E-S-H-A-M. Bob Keesham is Captain Kangaroo. You're smiling, so I guess you remember him. Well, there were several
others. Days home from school.
There were several others. We tried to select people to come and speak who would be of interest to the general MSU population. We also established the monograph series, publication series, and there were three books that were, I guess five books that were published during the time that I was a dean. One was the Michigan Family Source Book that was written by Boger and Andrews, which gave solid information, benchmark information on families in Michigan. Then the survey that I mentioned on racial and sex employment patterns, which I did, was also published by this group. And then we published a trilogy, a series of three books on the philosophical studies in home economics, which was written by Marjorie Brown. And these were well received, especially the last, the first two were really reference materials. The last one was very well received by people within home economics who were searching for a philosophical understanding of this field. And Marjorie Brown was perhaps our most intellectual philosopher within the field during that period of time, and probably ever. During the 80s, I also worked with the Office of the Provost to develop and then to establish the MSU, an MSU administrative internship program, because I felt that we needed to have people have opportunities to see what administration was like, to experience what administration was, to know something of the tasks that were involved, something of the perceptions that were required and so forth, so that people would be interested in entering administrative positions.
Was this for faculty or students?
These would be mostly graduate students.
Graduate
students, and normally PhD students, although it could also be faculty.
Mm-hmm.
It's open to faculty. It was patterned after the ACE presidential internship program that has been around for a number of years. I have for many years maintained contact with international home economists and international programs in several countries, in South America and India and Korea in particular. Programs in Korea eventually took on the title of human ecology in part because of interaction that they had with me, and was instrumental in helping those programs see that there was research potential in areas in addition to human nutrition.
You traveled to those areas and
yes,
helped set up those programs?
I haven't helped set them up.
Okay.
I did most of it by telephone and by writing,
mm-hmm.
and by some travel, but not being there.
Mm-hmm.
I also had some assistance from Dr. Bobbitt, who was my associate dean, who did interact with these people. But it was nice to have that affiliation. The Community Services External Master's Degree program that I commented about earlier, I think was a very good program in starting people doing international work and being comfortable in doing international work. Sometimes the problem is a comfort level, achieving a comfort level for faculty. The last thing that I wanted to comment on is the development of the Development Fund program. It was simply non-existent when I arrived in 1973. Together with my associate dean, we worked to establish strong affiliations with alumni and emeriti and college friends. And there was no support staff extended at this time. We did it ourselves. What we did was to establish a Human Ecology National Alumni and Emeriti Network. And through personal contacts and travel all over the United States, we were able to increase the College Development Fund support, real and pledged, from 1972, which was under 13,000, to over a million by 1985. Which was quite an achievement in its day. Nowadays, with the kind of support you can get, where someone is doing this all the time, you could do far better.
So there was not much, it was non-existent at the university support for...
It wasn't considered as being necessary,
mm-hmm.
apparently.
Did you face any opposition within the university, or was it just
the
fact of
They were happy, we would do it.
Uh-huh.
Anytime you can get money, you know.
Yeah. What was there any major success that you can point to? Was it through an individual or corporate contribution? Anything that stands out?
Primarily through alumni and friends.
Okay.
And several of our alumni would leave like 1 in 200,000 at a stroke in their wills, but identified as part of their will. But most of it was relatively small increments of maybe 50,000-60,000 that were given, and you were just happy to receive
mm-hmm.
any kind of support, and even to receive verbal support made you feel good because you knew that they had you in mind. Well, nowadays there is an organized structure on how to get money from friends and so forth. But in those days, my associate dean and I sat down and said, what can we do to achieve this? What is the very best way to achieve this? And whenever we made a trip anyplace, we visited with all of the alumni we could meet in that area to explain what we were doing and to ask for their support. And it did pay off, but it was enormously exhausting work mm-hmm. on top of everything else. Yeah.
Personal contact that you had to make.
Yeah. But it was rewarding to see that they appreciated and were willing to give.
In associated with that, did you organize any on-campus, like an annual activity in conjunction with homecoming
always,
or anything?
We always had lots of that sort of stuff.
Okay.
There was always something relative to homecoming. We also had a human ecology college day or something of that sort. I can't remember what it was called, in which we had guest speakers. Usually was a whole morning of lectures and so forth and so on, and then a luncheon and always a speech by the dean, and which we tried to bring to them not only what we were doing, but also ask for their help. And that was well attended for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Then it sort of faded because it's a kind of thing that many people have other things to do. And so it sort of faded. And I think it was phased out finally sometime in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we did do those. I didn't mention those, but there was something every weekend. You asked about administrative style, and I always saw myself as I'm interested in administration. I really am. I find administration extremely intriguing. That is, trying to help people do the job that they say they want to do.